Good morning, and welcome to Higher IQ. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. Tonight at 6:30 Eastern, the New England Patriots face the Seattle Seahawks at Levi's Stadium, a rematch of Super Bowl 49 from 2015, when Malcolm Butler's goal line interception sealed one of the most dramatic finishes in championship history. Bad Bunny headlines halftime, the first reggaeton artist to ever solo headline the event. NBC has the broadcast. Here's what we want you to think about while you watch. 213 million Americans will participate in today's festivities. They'll spend $20.2 billion. That's $94.77 per person. And here's the weird part. That includes people who don't like football, people who are going to a party because they were invited, people buying chips out of obligation. You can skip Christmas if you're not Christian. You can ignore St. Patrick's Day if you're not Irish. But the Super Bowl, good luck. It's the only American holiday you can't opt out of, and it didn't exist 60 years ago. That's what we're unpacking today. Plus, a brutal week in markets, the Winter Olympics now underway, and the economic data that got delayed by the shutdown. Let's get into it. The Super Bowl is the only major American holiday that didn't exist 60 years ago. Thanksgiving took centuries and a presidential proclamation. Christmas has millennia of religious tradition. The Super Bowl has a football game that changes teams every year, a halftime act that changes every year, and yet it commands the same behavioral loyalty, the same I have to be somewhere obligation. How did the NFL pull this off? Let's follow the money. Let's start with the halftime show. Bad Bunny will perform for 13 minutes tonight in front of 130 million people. His payment from the NFL, $0. Technically, he'll receive union scale, $671 for the performance, about $1,800 for rehearsals. That's less than the face value of a single ticket to the game he's performing at. But Bad Bunny isn't working for free. He's paying to be there. The NFL covers production costs, around $13 million. But when The Weeknd wanted a more elaborate show in 2021, he wrote a $7 million check out of his own pocket. Shakira and J-Lo reportedly spent $10 million combined the year before. More importantly, every halftime performer forgoes revenue they could earn elsewhere. After Kendrick Lamar's halftime show last year, his Spotify streams jumped 430%. Usher saw a 550% surge the year before. Rihanna's streams doubled after her 2023 performance. That's real money. Money artists effectively donate to the NFL in exchange for access to the congregation. The halftime show isn't a gig, it's a tithe. Artists compete to pay it. Now the players, the people who actually create the product. Each player tonight received exactly two complimentary tickets. Two. For the biggest moment of their careers. They can buy up to 13 more at face value, $950 to $1,800 per seat, which sounds reasonable until you realize those tickets resell for $4,000 to $10,000. The players are being asked to pay secondary market prices for their own families to watch them work. The Amazon documentary Kelsey captured Eagles center Jason Kelsey calculating costs for Super Bowl 57. The maximum allotment for family and friends, over $50,000. His wife Kylie put it bluntly, "We're paying almost $4,000 for a kid who is not going to sit in a seat to watch her dad play in a game." Here's the detail that stopped us. The bonus difference between winning and losing tonight is $75,000 per player. That's less than two premium tickets on StubHub. The person watching the game is valued higher than the person playing in it. The labor is worth less than the seat. Now the advertisers. A 30-second spot tonight costs $8 million on average. Some premium slots, right before kickoff, right after halftime, crossed $10 million for the first time. In 1967, the same 30 seconds cost $37,500. That's a 26,000% increase, far outpacing inflation, far outpacing the growth of any other advertising medium. But here's the strange part. People want to watch the commercials. Nearly 80% of viewers say they consider the ads entertainment, not interruption. Brands pre-release their spots to build anticipation. Publications rank them. Social media debates them. The commercials aren't breaks from the content, they've become content themselves. The NFL has convinced America that advertising is entertainment. That took 60 years to engineer. And about that game you're watching, the broadcast will run nearly 4 hours. Of that, approximately 18 minutes will be actual live football, the time between snap and whistle. That's less time than it takes to cook a frozen pizza. The other 50 to 60 minutes? Commercials. You will literally watch more advertisements than athletic competition. And you won't complain, because that's what you do on this holiday. So here's the higher IQ take. The usual Super Bowl stories are about how big the numbers are. $10 million ads, $50,000 player tickets, 130 million viewers. Those numbers are real, but they miss what's actually strange here. The NFL didn't build a sports league. They built a holiday. Events are optional. Holidays are obligatory. Events appeal to fans. Holidays tax everyone. Events need marketing. Holidays are self-reinforcing. You show up because everyone shows up, and everyone shows up because you show up. That's not a platform. That's not a business. That's something religions and governments build, and it usually takes forever. The NFL did it in 60 years. Tonight, Bad Bunny will pay tribute for access to the congregation. Jason Kelsey's successors will buy $4,000 tickets for toddlers. Brands will pay $10 million for 30 seconds of ritual. And 213 million Americans will spend $94.77 each, whether they care about football or not, because that's what you do on Super Bowl Sunday. You're not watching a game. You're observing the newest holiday in America, and the only one invented by a corporation. 60 years from now, people will study how they did it. Now let's talk about what happened in markets this week, because it's not just volatility, it's a narrative collapse. For years, Bitcoin has been sold as digital gold, the uncorrelated asset, the hedge against uncertainty, the thing you hold when the world gets scary. This week, the world got scary. Investors panicked, and they sold Bitcoin to buy actual gold. Bitcoin crashed below $61,000 on Thursday, down more than 50% from its all-time high of $126,000 just 4 months ago. That's $1.2 trillion in value erased. Meanwhile, gold is up 70% over the past year. Bitcoin is down 35% over the same period. They didn't just diverge, they inverted. When the thesis got tested in real time, the digital gold narrative failed completely. Software stocks got crushed too. The iShares Tech Software ETF hit its most oversold level since 2001, since the dot-com bust. The trigger? Fears that AI agents will eat into software company revenues. Think about that irony. The companies that were supposed to benefit most from AI are now getting punished because AI might replace their products. The thing that was supposed to make them valuable became the threat. Here's what makes this week different from a normal pullback. The money didn't leave. It rotated. The Dow Jones hit 50,000 for the first time on Friday. Industrials, energy, consumer staples, the boring stuff, the stuff your grandfather would have bought, all hit fresh highs while tech bled out. The 2021 playbook, crypto, high-growth software, meme stocks, everything goes up forever, died this week. Not because markets crashed, but because scared money finally had to pick a direction, and it picked the old stuff over the new stuff. What to watch this week? Delayed economic data finally drops. The government shutdown pushed the January jobs report to Wednesday and CPI inflation to Thursday. Economists expect 70,000 jobs added, unemployment at 4.4%. The inflation print matters more. If core CPI cools, rate cut chatter returns. If it's sticky, the Fed stays put. Earnings continue. Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Airbnb, Coinbase all report. Watch how investors react to Coinbase, especially a crypto company reporting earnings the week after crypto's worst crash since FTX. And the Winter Olympics are underway. Opening ceremony was Friday in Milan. Mariah Carey, Andrea Bocelli, first medals today. NBC is calling this legendary February because they've got the Super Bowl, Olympics, and NBA All-Star Game in the same window. The attention economy is eating well this month. That's your Sunday briefing. Two stories about narratives. One about how the NFL built a holiday from scratch, and one about how this week's market tested and broke the stories investors had been telling themselves. Enjoy the game tonight, or the commercials, or the halftime show. Whatever version of the holiday works for you. Stay informed, Stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.